the measurement in is it's the seed. It is the olive tree. It is the fig tree spiritually. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the outside world, it's foolishness.
That's true. To the outside world, which is the outer court, it is foolishness.
And they are being trampled down. Well, who's trampling them down? Doctrines of demons. The locust plagues of the north. Every analogy and parable that you equate this to tells you that, you know, you're armed in the spirit to see this through the gospel, and they're not. And they know not what they do. And they do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. They are worshiping an idol worship, many false Christs. The list is large. It is not for the multitude to know this. They just can't see it. Even though they study themselves, they are ever studying, never coming to knowledge of the truth. Bill?
Yeah, Ephesians 4 says that because of their ignorance, ignorance is actually the drunken stupor that they're in from drinking the false doctrine. As he says, these people's hearts have waxed gross. And so they become alienated from God. I mean, separated, that's in the outer court. Because of their ignorance and the darkness of their heart, I believe it says in Ephesians 4:18. So this outside of the court, really, it's a separation from God. And, you know, what runs the outer court, really, is he says in verse 17 of Ephesians, the vanity of their mind. That's why the outer court is just it's being trampled upon. It's just complete insanity.
And the three measures of love, an audience, tell you that this is all bad. Scripture is unleavened. It's the truth. Proper rendering of Scripture.
That tells you the drunken state that it's in. If you can't read that a simple parable like that and understand what it means, that really tells you how much leaven there is in there.
This is the understanding of the circumcised heart. This is not a fleshly gospel for you to peruse over and, hey, I got it, and I'm in, you know, I'll sign the card and I'll park my car and go get a latte and go for an hour at church. Or I'll go to the bake sale. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye sober. When you look at this and you find out that Revelation's happening in your generation, it's about as sobering as you can get. Because this is the revealing of the Scripture telling you by analogies that to them it's not given. Terrors. You're surrounded by terrors. It doesn't say that the seed is all in one row and the tares are all in another row. It's that they were sown together. And if you don't understand that parable, you're not going to understand this at all.
That's true. That's what Jesus said.
Always remember, it's what Jesus said. No man is going to reveal this to you. Proper rendering of Scripture is that our Lord Jesus Christ and those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and those that are fastened on our Lord Jesus Christ, they're given understanding, and you better be sober about it. Because out
right,
there
the sober, is... Soberness is the opposite of waxing gross. Waxing gross is... It's like being in a drunken stupor. And it's the that's why they can't see in it. That's why it says because of the ignorance that is in them. Waxing gross is these people's hearts have waxed gross is the opposite of being sober.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm. Did you read verse 2? Are we in the outer court?
Or did I? No, you're not in the outer court, buddy.
Okay,
you're not in the outer court.
Yeah, you're just comparing it to the inner. Yeah, I was wondering if I missed it or not. But yeah, it's these are the verse 1 is the remnant seed. The remnant seed who have no guile. This is who's in the inner court.
Right. Exactly.
And that measurement is by implication a limited portion, a measure, unleavened measure, is given audience. And on many layers, this is the book of life. When you see these things.
It's also the three measures of meal, the pure gospel with no leaven in it.
The meat of scripture. For those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news.
Amen.
The understanding that you know that the whole world lies in wickedness and that no flesh is good. And the implication is that in doing so, you're in the wilderness being taught by the Holy Ghost and not in the apostasy and not in the great falling away. And that the armies of the north have no effect on you. They cannot deceive you with their false doctrines, with their Zionism, with their movements, their socialist. They're all Babylon. You're in Babylon. Revelations 11:2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, audience, you are given power to tread on serpents and scorpions. The Gentiles are serpents and scorpions and heathens. And in understanding this, you cannot go out and say to the preacher that's preaching false doctrine, you know, you can't tear him up. He will not hear ye. You can witness to him the proper rendering of scripture, if it be of the Lord for him to hear it. The word does not come back void. But you're talking about the Gentiles are everything not in our Lord Jesus Christ. They are not in covenant. And they're preaching false doctrines of demons. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you if you understand this. You will not be deceived. Ultimately, every knee will bow when this is come into fullness of our Lord's time, not our time. Anybody want to comment on the 40 in 2 months?
Oh, I'm starting to see that, and I don't have to be right, but I see that as a type and shadow of the time of Jesus' ministry being 42 months. I don't see that as being 42 months literally today. I just see that as a type and shadow of that time period. You know, when Jesus walked and was teaching, and his disciples, they were in the inner court. And the rest of the world that he came to, you know, the world knew him not. He was the light of the world. And the rest, everything else was the outer court. And he was there for 42 months. Could this mean 100 years in our time today? I have, you know, I don't know. I don't really think it means 42 months, literally, though.
Yeah, it's hard to make it literal. But it's been very, it's caused us a lot of I want to say confusion, but it's just been really hard to nail it down. But the fact that I think we differ on this, Bill, but Bob, I'm not sure, but the way that, we see that, in the middle of the week, Jesus is cut off. And I really do see where this is how I do see it, that, at the time of, the crucifixion that Jesus was cut off and that, he was that was this that Jesus's first appearing, his first coming, was the mm-hmm. first three and a half years. Because the tribulation is the coming of the Son of Man, the third day, is many times attributed to the consummation, the finishing up of things. And this could be a metaphoric number, just like the thousand is. And it's a tricky one. I can't say it isn't a literal.
It could possibly, you know, it's not entirely off the wall to say that this 42 months could be the last half of 70th week of Daniel, but it's not really 42 months.
Yeah.
It's a figurative 42 months. I don't have all of this figured out, believe me.
The one thing that the Lord does say, though, he says it three different ways, literally. 42
That's
months.
That's true. That's true.
3.5 years and 1,000, you know, whatever, days. And it very well could be an actual 3.5 years.
It may get down to the very end where there is. Yes, there's three witnesses there.
This is all tough when you have to weigh it against the, they will be eating and drinking and giving in marriage and not, because it's going to be just like the days of Noah, and they're going to be buying and selling and they'll be scoffing. You know, where is the promise of his coming? Tomorrow will be like today, only better. So this is the condition that we see, prophesied.
You have the inner court here, Revelation 11:1, in that, I think you were speaking of Luke 17 there. And really, Revelation 11:1 is Noah that's going to be preaching the truth during this time.
It's the lightning, the truth, the remnant seed that are in the inner court.
And Noah didn't have a lot of success.
No.
Even though I'm sure he did a good job. I'm sure he got the word out.
Armed in the spirit in his generation, audience.
But there was no listeners.
And they couldn't beguile Noah.
Right.
Noah was righteous.
But the one thing that is absolutely taking place here in verse 2 is when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies. You know, this is Habakkuk 1:4 says, therefore the law is slack and the judgment doth never go forth, which is what the condition is at the time of the second coming. And for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. And this is exactly what's taking place here in verse 2. The wicked, the Gentiles are encompassing the holy city. And therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. But then in verse 5 in Habakkuk, verse chapter 1, behold, ye among the heathen, among the Gentiles. This is who's the heathen and the Gentile. It's the same identity. This is what we call rightly dividing the word of truth. And regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it were told you. I mean, this is the work. This is the work that's taking place in your day. I mean, this is a reference to the last days. This is the strange work, the strange act that the Lord, he can't even put in, you know, if he told us, we wouldn't believe it. And this is the time, Luke 21:20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And this is all the turmoil, the tribulation that's taking place in this outer court as the Gentiles are treading down underfoot the multitude, because there are three identities here in this verse, chapter 2. We've got the Gentiles and we have the multitude. These are the multitude that do return. They return to the Lord. And this is what this is all about. This is what's taking place in the outer court. The trampling down, it's like into the wine press. The wine press of tribulation. And, you know, this isn't physical. This is the tramping down of the sound doctrine, the truth, that Satan's deception, the deceiver, is the battle of Gog Magog taking place here. All this is all taking place right in this verse right here. And it's here, as I say, this is a playbook. Because this is going on right now, is the truth is almost gone. it's been diminished to not, you know, to be likened unto Gideon, you know, Gideon's army, you know. And this is what the Lord, I see, you know, the pattern in Scripture where he is, you know, reduced the remnant to nothing. I mean, how many, you know, I can't say, but it's a small percentage to the, you know, against the apostate house of God. But, you know, we're going to see this thing, the strange, this is actually the strange work, the strange act described in chapter 11. And, you know, we'll proceed. You know, pray for the Lord to open it up to us that we can, you know, glean understanding from what he's saying here.
And the court audience, which is without, it's very, very telling. What that ultimately means is that the outer court has waxed cold.
And iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold.
The living water is evaporating. It's the I wish were hot or cold, but lukewarm. No. Okay, you're either hot, cold, or lukewarm. And the doctrines of demons are just blinding. They are blinding and making the people deaf. The serpents and scorpions without that are in that court that have waxed cold are money changers. They are deceiving their flocks, they're idle shepherds. And it is given, what is given? It's to make, minister, number, offer, have power, but receive, set, show, smite with the hand, strike with the palm of the hand, suffer, take, utter, yield, to give.
Didn't it say that power was given to, unto the beast?
The scorpions of the earth have power. They have power over the people. They have power over the minds of the apostate that aren't studying to show themselves approved, that have left themselves wide open to this deception in the outer court.
They're likened unto briar and thistles. Surrounded. You're surrounded. This whole thing is surrounding you, audience. No matter where you're at, you're the holy temple of the Lord. You own the land you're on. Or the Lord owns the land you're on. And he's protecting you spiritually. He's fighting this battle for you to see this. He's preparing you to prepare the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for them that are in this outer court, it is the judgment of the Lord that they be there. Because no man can tell who has a circumcised heart or not. You can't see this.
Right. I kind of liken this to Revelation 6:8 in many ways, and power was given unto them. This is, you know, I think this is the time of the pale horse whose riders are death and hell.
And the pale horses, this is the ultimate mingling audience. The doctrines of demons, they've changed the ordinances, they've changed the doctrines, they've mingled everything. All the colors are mingled. It's pale now. It's green. It's just a absolute mess of the flesh. Propagating on, it's all an abomination to the Lord. And you can't hide from
this.
When
the transgressions have come to the full.
There's nowhere to hide. Chris?
Yeah, but there's good news still, because the Lord's about his work here, you know, and if he were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. But, you know, I'm not, you know, I can say I've gotten glimpses of it, and it is truly amazing.
See, something has to come out of this. For it is given unto the Gentiles, the holy city shall he tread under the feet 42 months. If there is not going to be something redeemed out of it, there's no purpose for it.
Well, see, this is where, like in Romans 11:25, it says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Now see, we got the Gentiles, we have the Gentiles out here in the outer court, but some of them come in. See, some of them come into the inner court.
Right.
And this is what's happening here. And this is absolutely a dual timeline.
This is the whole purpose of this procedure in 11:2.
And it's
until the fullness of the Gentiles, whoever is going to come in to the intercourt.
Tried by fire.
Tried by fire, right, and in all the land, two parts will I cut off. The third part left therein, you know, I'll...
And it's really, there's a very deep meaning in Revelation, I mean, in Romans 11:25, is part of the dual timeline, is that this thing worked out in the day of Paul when he wrote this, and it's also playing out now as the blindness in part has happened to Israel. Well, this is, you know, the Israel of God today, which is the church. You know, the Israel, this is the great falling away. This is the blindness that's come upon the people. And, you know, it's this identity of the Gentiles is really, you know, you know, the heathen, you know, as far as, you know, the new converts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, are still, you know, there's a time coming when the door is going to be shut, when no man can work, you know, pray that your flight not be in winter, you know, winter meaning after the harvest is over. But for now, this is all, you know, working itself out, and actually the blindness in part has happened to Israel. You know, the two parts cut off, you know, this is the apostate that is actually about the business of bringing, you know, the multitude to repentance. And I'm just going to read Jeremiah 16. It's got an account of this that's really profound. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish for them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they will hunt for them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. At first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. This is the tribulation. You know, this is the terrible day of the Lord. You know, because they have defiled my land, and they have filled mine inheritance with carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. But, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies. This is their waking up. Surely our fathers have inherited lies. They're saying, wait a minute, they're lying to us. Vanities and things wherein there is no profit. There's no profit in these sermons coming from these plexiglass apostate pulpits, you know. Shall a man make gods unto himself? This is the image of the beast, and they are no gods. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. You know, this is the process.
Mighty, mighty.
What a profound scripture there. I mean, wow. That scripture was describes this.
Well, it's the account of the Gentiles coming in the New Testament in Romans, and it's the Gentiles shall come unto thee in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. So there's two accounts of the Gentiles coming in the scripture for us. You know, the Lord gives us two witnesses. Those are two witnesses right there. That's a type of two witnesses. And, which is kind of where we're headed tonight, isn't it? Funny how that works.
Yeah, they turn from the traditions of men to the gospel.
Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and
that's traditions of men.
There's no profit. This is the waking of the multitude. They're waking up. Yeah.
They will be fed unleavened bread by the Lord.
Right.
They will come into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news, audience. This is likened unto Pentecost. But now it's likened unto the times of Noah. You know, nobody's seeing this. Nobody's studying themselves approved. Nobody understands this. Revelations 11:3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Bill?
Well, I would like to hand this over to Chris, because I know that he's done a lot of work on that, and I think his understanding is better than mine, and I would like to hear what he has to say.
Chris?
Well, what I do have here is some scripture to shed light on what's going on here. Some other accounts in scripture of these two witnesses. Who are they? What are they? You know, this is, we're going to have answers to this before we're done with this study, and it's going to take as long as the Lord takes to bring this stuff out, because it's time. You know, this is all work. This is all real time, folks. But you know, Acts chapter 2 verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. See, this is a type and shadow of the multitude here, the servants and the handmaidens. We see two here, two witnesses, and there's a lot more to the servants and handmaidens. You know, we'll plug this thing in as we go. But what do the servants and handmaidens do in Acts chapter 2? Which is the time of the former and the latter reign. You know, this is the prophecy out of Joel. And they shall prophesy. You know, these two witnesses shall prophesy, just like it says in verse 3. And this prophesying is prophesying the truth, and it's causing the tribulation. This is causing...
Can I ask you a question, Chris, here?
Sure.
Are you viewing these two witnesses as being those in the inner court right now?
Yeah. Because okay. I think that these are the people that have come out of the outer court as they're being mm-hmm. trampled underfoot in the outer court. They're coming to the truth. And I think from verse 2 to verse 3 is the waking of the multitude. Because, I mean, the Gentiles have come in. Okay, and I see these as the apostate that have come in to the inner court, and the two witnesses are the,
see this is a process of them coming into the inner court.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because if they're prophesying, they're prophesying the truth. They're mm-hmm. they're in sackcloth. Okay, and this is something we see clearly today, that the true remnant of God are in sackcloth. You know, there's no getting around.
They're not rejoicing in the street over the death of Gaddafi, are they?
No, they're not. They're not calling down glory from heaven to, you know, that they deserve. You know, and this entitlement mentality that's out there, because you know, we know this defiant attitude. You know, we did. You know, it's so hard to bring out current events, folks, because. You know, it's just lie upon lie upon lie. And, you know, we can go to Scripture, and the Lord reveals it to us, and we can tell you, you know, what our heart testifies is the truth. It's Scripture. But we do see this thing going on out there, is this defiant attitude. You know, there's a video of McCain just flaunting his pride, you know, warning the world to not mess with us because we're bad. And look what we did to Gaddafi, and this can happen to you, too. And he even mentioned Putin and the other dictators of the world, blah, blah, blah. And this is absolutely, there was another account this week of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10. It's the, we will rebuild. You know, this destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Israel, where they, and I don't know the story. I'm studying it right now. I just got a hold of this week. But the way that the stones were knocked down, and they were going to rebuild with stones that they hewn themselves. And the sycamore tree was destroyed, and they were going to replace it with the cedar. And, you know, this is all just symbology of men's defiance. You know, this is what the stiff-necked Israel defying the Lord. And
right, that's what Stephen told the whole story there. He says, "Oh, ye stiff neck, why ye always resist the Holy Ghost?" He says, "As your fathers did."
Yeah. And this is what we're seeing.
Same thing.
This defiant this is what, you know, this is what the two witnesses are in sackcloth over. You know, and
so you the two witnesses come in to tell this, or you come to tell them this. It's the same story. They resist the Holy Ghost. You just can't, you know, you can't get through to them. They're stiff-necked and they resist the Holy Ghost, and which is they receive not the love of the truth.
Yeah, and I think we can say that this 1,203 score days, figurative or literal, it's the end. It's the second.
It's the end. Actually, it doesn't matter if it's physical or literal. It's just the end.
There's 2,000 or 1,000.
We're in that season. I don't know how long it's going to last, but that's
guess what? 1,203 score days. Well, the last day is the last day.
That's right. The one.
When it's the last day, it's the last day, and you know, then it's over, and then it's the new Jerusalem and the new earth, and you know, it's every tear will be wiped away. So,
like it says in Revelation 21:8. Verse 8, it lists 8 things and says there will not be a new beginning.
No. No, it's not going to be a new beginning. It's the perdition. The 8th is the perdition.
Yeah, those are cast into the lake of fire.
And audience, the two witnesses it's many layers. Many layers of scripture tell definitively of the witnessing, it is Matthew 18:16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Well, what is that word? That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, audience. Amen. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Well, there's two witnesses there. You, the Holy Temple of the Lord, you, audience, that are in our Lord, covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, that have repented of your sins, you're his witnesses. And the Holy Ghost is a witness to this. Acts 7:5-8, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was a witness to this, audience. Saul saw this. Bill?
Yeah, amen.
Continuing on, audience's witnessing is... it's different than everybody thinks.
Oh, absolutely.
It is not the proper rendering is that those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ that understand that in the inner court, you know, you understand that you are the root of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is nurturing to grow you in all generations, and he seeks all for repentance. That's what Peter spoke of. What do we do? Well, you repent. Repent. And seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the doctrines of demons complicate that. And the Lord, by his Spirit, through his gospel, tells the truth. And you are to witness this for his purpose. Acts 22:15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. Acts 26:16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. Well, this is the witnessing of the gospel happening. Chris?
Right.
Amen. That was what, Acts 26:16? Yeah, that's I've never even seen that. That's awesome, because that's exactly what's going on here. I read from Acts chapter 2, 18 is my servants and handmaidens, shall prophesy. And then following is I will show signs in the heaven above, and the sun and the moon will be, sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood in the great and terrible day of the Lord. To translate the word terrible as notable in the New Testament, the prophecy from Joel. But, this is exactly what Bob just said. Ezekiel, this is an account of, what's going on in Ezekiel 37, which is the Lord raising up his army against his army, which is the confusing thing, the two armies. And the Lord claims they're both his, which they are. And they're both for his purpose. But the problem is, one of them's the good guys and one of them's the bad guys. And this is the thing that the church has got confused.
Doesn't evil say that it's good?
Yeah, well,
doesn't darkness say that it's light?
But Ezekiel,
so the bad guys are going to claim to be the good guys.
Ezekiel 37:4 says, "And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." This is what's going on. The same prophesying that's beginning here in Revelation chapter 3 is this. The account of the dry bones, in Ezekiel 37, is underway. It's talking about the same thing. And then what Bob just read. Hey, Bob, would you read that again? Acts 16.
26:16.
Yeah.
"But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee."
Yeah, now see, that's actually jumping ahead a little bit, because it's all talking about the same thing, but that's what's going to be coming up, a little further down, a few more verses ahead, when, as a result of this prophesying that's taking place, they stand up. They stand upon their feet, a great army. It says a great army in Ezekiel. It says, "And great fear fell upon them that saw this." This is the process that's taking place, and it's happening right now. People are waking up. This process is happening right now, and it's not a huge thing like is this huge revival that the church is looking for. I gather my flock one at a time. That's what the Lord says. But it's all in Luke chapter 10. This is another account of the two witnesses. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come." Now see, this is an example of the former and the latter reign, which we had the disciples that the Lord taught, and they spread the truth to these 70 here that were, this is the process. It's an example of that dynamic taking place here right now. "And therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into this harvest. Woe unto thee, Chorazin." And isn't that ironic that this thing we're describing here in 11:3 is one of the woes, because we'll see that at the end. This is one of the woes of the trumpet judgments. It's actually two woes. I think the first and the second woe are in here, but that's going to be for later on in the study. "Woe unto thee, Bethesda." So there's two woes. Woe unto Chorazin, woe unto Bethesda. "For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." So here are these two witnesses here are in sackcloth and ashes. This is just all examples. And what comes up a little later in chapter 10? This is a verse we've heard before. "Behold, I will give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, for the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Oh my gosh, is that powerful or what?
unanswered.
Very powerful. On one layer, they're casting out doctrines of demons.
Amen. Which are causing
you know, here, I noticed Ezekiel 37 you had here listed about the dry bones. It said, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones.
Yeah.
I think that links right into Acts chapter 2, 18, 19. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, the dry bones have no faith.
Yeah.
Their faith needs to be restored. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And you know, this is all done through the Holy Ghost. The faith is restored in these dry bones.
Hear the word of the Lord. What do we have today? A famine. Yeah. A famine of bread or water.
Of not hearing the words of the Lord.
Hearing the word of the Lord, you know. So this is the exact process going on here.
And you can.
What happens here is they're going to restore the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm and.
Amen.
As you had pointed out to us, that it consumed those years.
All those years that the locusts ate the doctrine, ate the truth. You know, and then it says the lions with cheek teeth, you know, eat the bark of the trees. You know, that's what it says in the next verse. And the bark, what's the bark? It's a covering, right? The bark is the covering of the trees. Who are the trees? Well, the trees are the people. The trees are the Christians. That yes. Their covering has been eaten away. That's the brutal part of all this, you know. This is all part of the falling. You fall from somewhere. You know, you're ensnared. You're taken, it says. You know, one taken, one left. That's not taken away to glory. When you're taken into captivity. You're taken into Babylonian deception. That's what that means. And you're ensnared. You know, taken means that you are ensnared. And, you know, these people lose their covering. You know, that's what we saw in Isaiah 28 when the short sheeted bed, right? The sheets don't cover you. You're not covered. You know, this is the real brutal thing about this. The fallen apostate aren't covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, like it says in Hebrews, you know. But this is the process of the Lord calling them back because there is a portion that comes back, a portion that's not like them, as it says in Jeremiah 51. The portion of Judah is not like them, and they come back. You know, they're restored. They take root downward again and bring forth fruit upward. And this is what we're going to see here. The two witnesses are bringing forth fruit because, you know, the two witnesses are prophesying and waking up, you know, their associates in the church. The harlot church system is we'll see it in the next coming up here, but the way that the rain they have power to cause the rain not to fall. Very huge, profound truths coming up. But
and scripturally, you keep finding audience the pattern of our Lord's revelation in terms of witnessing. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I may make mention of you always in my prayers. And audience, the gospel is the good message that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they preach it not in the churches. And you are witnessing this. You're declaring the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not study themselves approved. They're under doctrines of demons. They're under misinterpretations, not the proper rendering of Scripture, not the weight of Scripture. They've changed the doctrines. They've changed the ordinances of Scripture. They've molded it into the man-made doctrines, the six. Those that understand it, they understand the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. They enter into the seventh, the Sabbath rest. That's every minute, every hour of the day. And don't believe anybody else that preaches anything different.
Right.
That's
they're
the
rest. Preaching the gospel. They're preaching the false gospel. Hath God not said?
Right.
Just as the serpent came in the garden.
Acts 13:31, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And that's anyone throughout history who's been in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that's not in that covenant is without. They are in the outer court. They are being trampled by the Gentiles. And those that are witnesses, that have the Holy Spirit, and that preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they trample on these serpents and scorpions that are preaching these gospels. The locust. They are fed the manna by the Lord in the wilderness. They are fed the gospel because there's a famine. And ultimately, people that do not enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, they die. Bill?
Amen. You could say Joseph was in the inner court during the famine. And the multitude of his brothers and stuff came into the inner court there in Egypt during the time of the famine, of the, you know, to be fed there.
Acts 10:41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, whom did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Audience, it's a continual pattern of being in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ to recognize this. In every analogy and metaphor throughout Scripture, the weight of Scripture tells you that, you know, you're to be lively stones and not stones overturned. Built on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the teaching of the apostles. And the gospel is continually patterned here. What did Jesus use in the desert? It is written, it is written, it is written. You have the truth of Scripture. You need no man teach you this.
That's right. He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. And that's what, you know, he said that to the religious establishment. They had all the Scriptures there. He told them to search the Scriptures.
2 Corinthians 1:23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Two witnesses. And Bill, can we go over the number two?
Well, yeah, two is either a house divided, it's two witnesses joined together in one. If the two are divided, they can never come together as one. Satan's house can never come together as one, no matter how hard he tries. It's going to be confusion. It's going to be a house divided. It's two factions of evil that come against each other. The two witnesses will always be joined together in one. and that's joined together in one in Jesus Christ, which is one with the Father, which is one with the Holy Ghost, which is one with the body of Christ. So, you know, everything is just one. There's no discrepancies. It's one truth, as Brother Chris said. The two factions of evil, they got two truths.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the third time you'll find two in the Bible is when there's a split, you know, good and evil. So you'll find,
It's ironic that our country has been built on that we uphold these truths, it says in the Bill of Rights, right?
Yeah.
The plural truths. So something's wrong right away. So we got
something
off to a bad start. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, see, they thought they're seeing when actually I don't think Thomas Jefferson wrote that because it was done in 3 days. I think it was probably written long before Thomas Jefferson. Oh, did he put some final touches to it? Maybe, yes.
Yeah.
You can't hardly believe anything from history. But it's like kind of rewriting the Bible, and it's establishing in many ways that your freedoms are in the flesh, that your freedoms come from, you know, even though they use the word creator in there.
Right.
They're looking for freedom in the flesh.
Which is why that's why Thomas Jefferson had such a hard time with Paul. He wanted Paul out of the Bible.
That's true. He wanted Paul out of the Bible. That's right.
Yeah, he was a
And if, that Paul, you know, he's still causing havoc with
his... He's still causing havoc today, isn't he?
And he grinds to powder.
Yeah.
All these doctrines of demons.
Yeah, that's
exactly why they want him out of here.
See, that's what's happening.
These preachers on TV that tears the book of Hebrews out.
Yeah.
This is the admonition, audience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Holily, audience. Properly right, intrinsic or divine character, thus distinguished, which refers rather to human statutes and relations, which denotes formal consecration from, which relates to purity, from defilement, that is hallowed, pious, sacred, sure, holy, mercy, shall be. Audience, that's the holiness of this knowledge. This is the sackcloth and ashes of witnessing what's happening to people around you, to the corner church, to the Pope. From the bottom of the pyramid, the foundations of the fleshly doctrines of demons, to the top of the pyramid that are in the headlines, you're witnessing these accounts of Revelation chapter 11.
Really, like First Chronicles 21 says, you know, this is David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Wow. There's no symbolism in that, is there? But
no.
The angel's got the sword drawn out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. See, this is the church today. When this sword is, you know, the symbolism, we could do a whole show just on that one verse, but this is the church today, clothed in sackcloth, you know, like David. David is a man after God's own heart. And David said unto God, is it not I that command the people to be numbered? This is when David wanted to number the people. There's a lot going on there. Even I, it is that have sinned and done evil indeed, but as far as the sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded God to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan and Jezebite. Now here we just see all this symbology here with the clothes in sackcloth and ashes, the plagues, you know, David lamenting, you know, between the porch and the altar, which is what, you know, happens
exactly.
In Joel. You know, and, you know, what is all this tribulation, all this, you know, what's happening in the court, in the outer court? What's the Gog Magog war? That's what's going on there. And, you know, it's the northern armies, the deception, the false prophets, the teachers in the house of God coming against the remnant waking up. This is the threshing floor. This is the process. This deception is what God uses to separate out his flock. And here we see, what is this? And all these accounts always end up in one thing, the harvest. You pick up on that in the scripture. The patterns are amazing. At the end of all this tribulation in the Old Testament, it's always ends up in a harvest scenario, or some type of separation. But it's huge. And I'm going to be done. This will be my closing comments tonight because I know we probably went long. But this has been such a great study. But you know, we see that they should not be plagued. You know, David is lamenting that God does not send the plagues because you know there's a huge type and shadow of the plagues playing out again here in the last days. And one big, huge signature that I came upon in my studies of this portion, this Revelation 11, is we can see the correlations of the swarm of locusts and put identities on most of the plagues, but the plague of the firstborn, being killed, was kind of elusive. You know, we've had a couple scenarios, but the fact is that Jesus was the firstborn. There's another huge, huge, deep metaphoric meaning here in that And this is only going to, you know, we got to give Sue and Randy all the credit for the, you know, putting together the fact that Ephraim and Manasseh are a type and shadow of the two witnesses in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And Ephraim was the firstborn. You know, this is the thing. Ephraim was the firstborn. And I go, oh, my gosh. You know, and this is all going to, you know, end up with, you know, a type and shadow of that plague being played out in these last days as the firstborns were killed. And, you know, this is a good argument if this is metaphoric or literal. I don't think it's metaphoric for a time, and I really believe that we're going to see this thing becomes literal at the end. You know, those who went through great tribulation were, you know, dressed in white under the altar, you know, crying out, how long, Lord, till you avenge our blood? You know, this is where we're heading here. It's, you know, we're going to give you the truth that we see. And allow you to, you know, we don't expect you to believe any of this stuff on our merits. You know, we expect you to be good Bereans, take what we've said tonight, and use it as a guide for your own study so that you can study to show yourself approved. Because you need the Lord to confirm this stuff in your heart, you know, and otherwise you're going to be led into apostasy too. As you're, you know, that's what's happened today, that the church has gotten lazy and they don't seek these answers themselves. They've trusted their fathers. You know, what a great, you know, I gotta say, I just found that tonight as I was looking up the coming in of the Gentiles. But, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. You know, they're going, aha, the Gentiles are having an aha moment there, going, wait a minute. And this is what's happening, you know, as this apostasy continues, and these crazy doctrines that are coming across the pike, and you know, somebody that's read his scripture and says, where do I see eagles gathered? There's a gathering of eagles Christian conference? Whoa. You know, I can just imagine how many people have woke up to that one. They had to. You know, there had to be some more that saw that signature the Lord's giving, you know. And this is where we are, folks. You got to have your discernment tuned in, you know, with no static so you can, you know, hear the Lord as you walk your walk and with your loins girded with truth and, you know, your whole armor of God in place every day. You know, we see balance is a big thing in the whole armor of God, having all those components of the armor in place. Otherwise, you're going to have a chink in your armor, and that's where the fiery darts get you, you know. So, you know, we'll just keep tracking together, and, you know, we're just so grateful for all the support, all our friends, emails. And until next time, this is Chris Ardern saying good night.
Brother Bill.
Gee, I don't know how to add to that.
oh, man, the Lord's really opening this stuff up. It's exciting.
Search the scriptures and be good Bereans. Otherwise, you wind up with the traditions of men. The Holy Ghost will take you away from the traditions of men and guide you to the truth. And I'll give it to Brother Bob to close.
Very sobering, gentlemen. Very sobering. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Oh, man.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. God bless and good night.
treasure, wide and faint, you bow.